Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Awesome presence of the Lord, amen. I hope you found the presence of the Lord with you this morning. He is a spirit. He says he's in us, through us. Brothers and sisters, and you should be able to come into an atmosphere of worship and praise. It's not dependent upon the church or the minister or the song leader or if they're anointed or not. You should be able to come into a spirit of worship with the living God. Amen. He inhabits the praises of his people, and when you could praise him and love him, when you truly fall in love with Jesus, amen, and you truly fall in love with him, you'll find his presence, his spirit, his anointing, his love, compassion, and his grace just fill you. And it's an awesome, awesome presence to be standing in his presence. An awesome thing, amen. Let's sing this together as we stand a moment. Let's just find a genuine spirit of worship in our own lives this morning. Far above, oh God. Just close your eyes, let him minister to your heart. Sometimes we close our eyes and kind of just blanks out our surrounding, and sometimes helps us to put our thoughts and admiration towards the Lord. Exalted far above, oh God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Presence. Thank you for your power. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. As you exalt the wonderful name of Jesus this morning, and you praise him and love him, ask him, say, fill me with your spirit this morning, God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost this morning. Let my cup overrun. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you, O God. Hallelujah. We lift you up above all this morning. Hallelujah. You are the King, the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
I exalt thee.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, your power. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here with us this morning. Oh God, hallelujah, as we surrender and submit our minds and hearts and thoughts over to you, we ask you, Lord, to use this vessel to speak to your people, to edify, to encourage, to strengthen, hallelujah, and encourage them in faith and hope this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're not historical or God that we're looking to come, that we know you today in your presence and know you in your strength and in your power. Have your way, oh God, as we submit over to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me. I got my Bible open here in the Gospel of Mark. I don't remember what's in the 12th chapter here, but that's where I opened up the Bible, and that's where we'll read it at this morning. Amen. We believe in yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God and letting Him speak and have His way. There's nothing wrong with study. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not to be ashamed. Amen. But the Bible said, make no preparation when you go before the people, that you go with the Lord, and He will bring the words of life to you. Amen. If you stay full of the Word, and that is His Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is God. Amen. He is with us. Hallelujah. We're not waiting for the returning of the Lord because He's already come for us. Amen. He's dwelling with us on a daily basis. I'm glad my God has not took off and left us and forsaken us for 2,000 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Can't teach that kind of teaching. He promised, He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, send back the Holy Ghost. And that promise was fulfilled in 10 days. Amen. And the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, had come, and we are full of the Spirit of God. The Bible said when two or three come together, He's in the midst. Amen. He is in us. And He's with us, and He's through us all. Amen. So the presence of the living God is here. Hallelujah. I hope you can find His Spirit, His presence, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you don't think He's coming back to this earth, Brother Rob? He already has. Well, what about in a natural body? Never happened. He will come back in a body, but it's not natural flesh, corruptible flesh. He came in that appearance one time in that image, and the Bible said we're not to know Him after that no more. And when He comes back, it is in a resurrected, glorified body that could walk through the walls, that could change, it could be here and there. And that's the way He's coming back, not to be spit upon, not to be mocked or ridiculed. He's coming back with an iron fist and power, and He's going to pull this world, this wretched, immoral, ungodly world into an order. And it's going to bring the people into a place of worship. And if they don't worship Him there in Jerusalem, the Bible said there'll be no rain on their crops, and they will absolutely find that they are going to be put under a law that they are going to have to worship a living God. Amen. Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And these ones that are crying Muhammad and Buddha and all that are going to be absolutely annihilated at the appearing, and they will not even have a chance. The shenu will come right off their body in the presence of a living God. They're not going to have a chance to cry out, to plead their case or nothing. They are absolutely, just as Ananias and Sapphira came into the presence of a living God and Brother Peter and absolutely fell over dead and gave up the ghost because they lied against the Holy Ghost. Amen. And these people will hit the ground before they even have a chance to open their mouth. Amen. Now at the White Throne Judgment, it's a little bit different of a thing. That's when the twice dead or those ones that are resurrected back up from the dead, they'll stand before the living God, and they won't really have an opportunity to say anything. Then He'll say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And the Bible teaches that they're taken and cast into the eternal lake of fire. Hell is not eternal, brothers and sisters. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is what's eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read right here in Mark the chapter 12. It says, and He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to a husbandman, and went into a far country. And at that season he sent the husbandman the servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You know, Brother Sid, when we think of this little parable and we go back and we see that it's speaking of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the move of God, even through the Old Testament. You know, when the Lord spoke to him, he said, you know, you had your way with the prophets. When he sent the prophets of God in, they took and they killed them and they put them to death and they did the things just as John was considered to be a prophet of God, John the Baptist. But they took him and they took and they killed him and put him to death. And this is the way the Lord was. And then he sent his own son. And we find here that he says, by sending his own son, that they would receive him, knowing that they would receive the Son of God, or believing this, but they rejected him and put him to death. And this was God. Jesus Christ is God. The Bible's very clear on teaching that. Emmanuel, God with us, in interpretation. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God, according to the Scriptures and the Word. The Bible, speaking about the Lord Jesus, said that he was there before the beginning, had no beginning, and that he created all things, were created by him. Amen. So Jesus did not have a beginning 2,000 years ago. That's a misunderstanding on your part, not understanding God, the Godhead, or the dimensional projections of God. Amen. He has no beginning, no end, no mother nor father. And Mary was not the mother of God. That's foolishness. God has no mother, no father. Mary was the mother of the Son of Man. Amen. Now, the Son of Man was the outer garment of iniquity, or the image of sin. The Bible teaches very clear that Jesus came in the image of sin, in the image of the sin nature. He was not sin. He was a pure, righteous, holy God. Amen. Fulfilling all things, every jot and tittle of the law, and came and rolled it up and laid it away. So again, as we say so oftentimes, is we have to differentiate between the Lord and the Christ, between the Son of Man and the Son of God. When we look at these scriptures and we start comprehending and understanding these parables, the Lord spoke in parables to the people and to bring them into a revelation. You know, you say, what good is a little story as such? It brings an understanding, a revelation of how God is and how God moves and what he does. The thing is, brothers and sisters, is we have to know when we read this New Testament, and when we look into these scriptures here of the New Testament, we read them. We got to know and bring these things into what we call a present day truth or a present day application. So oftentimes we read about God as a historical God that walked among men, and that's as far as we go. Or we speak about God, I say this so often, or we speak about God as a future God. Oh, someday he's going to return to this earth. Someday I'm going to be living and fellowshipping with God. You know, some great day I'm going to be this and that. I spoke to a man, and I remember sharing this with you, and we went and met this gentleman and was talking with him about the Lord. And when I hear him talking about the blessings of God, the provisions of God, the power of God, the victory of God, the joy of God, he always put it off into the future. Boy, one day they're going to put me in a box, or one day this great rapture is going to take place, and man, I'm going to be an heir, and I'm going to inherit all these things of God. How foolish of thought is that? How ignorant of a thought could one ever be in to think like that? Brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us very clearly that now we are joint heirs with God. Amen? And the thing is we got to learn to understand God. God is now. God is I am. God is present. God is here. Amen? I say again, this so oftentimes, a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. This is why the church world is in the condition, not speaking of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the religious institutions of America throughout the world. This is why they're in such a sickened condition, is because they've got a deferred hope. And they keep on saying, well, one day God's coming for us. One day the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll and we're going to find our God. That's not for the Gentile people. And that isn't for the church of this present day church, the true, genuine church, the born again believers of God. That's not what it's all about. Brothers and sisters, we are in the reign of God. We are in the power of God. We are heirs to God. We have inherited everything that we've inherited at all. We have become partakers of it. He said he's given us everything that pertains to life. You know, we're not waiting. We're not looking. We're not longing for that, brothers and sisters. The Bible said it's the world that's longing for the manifestations of the sons of God. We are the sons of God. That's what the Bible said. He said he give us the power that we are the sons of God. The Bible says very clear, now we. It says now. It says we're not going to be. It just says now, now. What does now mean? Now we are the sons of God. If I was wanting to be a millionaire, when I say, well, someday, brothers and sisters, I'm going to be a millionaire. But if I open up thing and I balance my checkbook and it says I got $1 million, I say, now I am a millionaire. You understand what I'm saying? Well, now I am a son of God. I don't have to be put in a box. I don't have to be buried. I don't have to go to sleep. Nothing. But I do have to do one thing, and that's die. Oh, well, wait a minute. You just messed it all up, Brother Rob. Man, wait a minute, man. You say you got to die, amen? Well, let me tell you something. You're looking at a man that's already died. And if you would know me after the life of physical flesh or after the life of what you see with your eyes, then you observe lying vanities. That's what you do. And the thing is that forsakes your own mercies, not mine. When you observe lying vanity, you forsake your own mercies. So if you know me after the flesh, you've forsaken your own mercy, according to the scriptures. Oh, but you're just a man. I was born just as a man with a sentence of death, and it was appointed unto me once to die, according to the word and to the scriptures. But then yet, I've already died. That's what the word of God says. It says, if we're going to talk about baptisms, the Bible says that I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, them things not seen. So you won't see it with the natural eyes, but I see it by faith, and I see it with the eyes of the Spirit and the eyes of Christ and the mind of God. And the thing is the attributes that I do, the good things that I do it in the name of the Lord, and the glory goes to God. And God, when we go to the God and we think of the Father and we have a spirit crying, Abba Father, the Bible says. And when the Spirit's crying, Abba Father, we know that the Father is the invisible Spirit. And we find that no man has seen Him. So that manly part has died and been crucified with Christ. And this resurrected new creature in Christ Jesus sees Him. Amen. He sees Him, knows Him, walks with Him, fellowships with Him. Now again, as we say so oftentimes, when Jesus spoke to Him, He said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Though you have ears, you do not hear. Who was He talking to? He was talking to people that was been in the synagogues all their life on a daily basis, worshiping and praising God. Amen. And speaking of what the prophets wrote down and what they done. But what every time these prophets would come to Him, this is what the Lord said to the Sanhedrin. He said, every prophet that come along, you've killed them. And He said, here I come. He said, John the Baptist, he come, didn't drink with you and this and that. You called him a devil. I come drink with you. You call me a devil. So what is it, brothers and sisters? You got to understand the word and the scriptures and understand who God is. You know, the Bible said we're crucified all the day long. And the thing is, the Bible says take up our cross daily. But you know, we look back to the cross, we look back to the crucifixion of Christ as a historical account. And it is an historical account in a chronological perspective of thought, in the perspective that we know that we look back 2,000 years ago, know that God was made manifest in a fleshly body and was crucified and killed, and to the perspective of the Son of Man killed, and that body went into the earth, amen? And the tomb, when it rolled back, He come in another form, the Bible teaches us very clear on that. He appeared in another form. It wasn't the same Jesus. It was the same Jesus, but through the resurrection, through the power, through the transfiguration, through the change, it was no longer a mortal fleshly body. It was spirit flesh. The thing is you say, well, what kind of body are you in, Brother Rob? I'm exactly the same way that Jesus Christ was when He walked in the earth. I have the spirit of power dwelling in me. You understand that? Now the Bible says, and I say this so oftentimes, brothers and sisters, it said that the same power, the same spirit that was dwelling in Christ Jesus shall dwell in your mortal bodies, and it shall raise you up from the dead. You think, well, if it's going to raise you up from the dead, they got to put you in a box and you've got to die. Well, I could say yay and amen. It will do that. Now, when the church world refers to a term called rapture, which isn't a biblical term whatsoever at all, we can't find that in the Bible nowhere, but we can find, again, the transfiguration. Now, if we would look into the dimensional perspective of that, we do know that the bodies of the forefathers that are asleep, the Bible doesn't teach that the forefathers, the ones that are born again, the ones that have God's Spirit, are dead. When we talk about them in a box, in a casket, in a grave, it said, on and sleep with the forefathers. If you even read in Thessalonians 4 about this great change that it speaks about, that's where the church uses most of their scriptural reference for what they call rapture. And when you read that, it talks about them that have gone on asleep, is what it speaks about there. That resurrection to them is to bring the redemption of that body and to bring that body up, and it goes through the change, the metamorphosis, in the twinkling of an eye, and it's changed from mortal into immortal. It's changed from telestial into celestial. That is a changed body. That's what Jesus has already done, being the firstborn of many brethren. Now, you say, when does this take place, Brother Rob? Well, it's already taken place in the mind of God and the Spirit, but it has not come to a manifestation. Now, I'm going to give you an example. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of this world. Your name was put in the book of life before the world ever was, according to the scriptures. But you see, we find, again, now we step into a chronological order of timely perspective. And when we get into a timely thought and a timely perspective, we find that Jesus, it was like 2,000 years ago that he was crucified. So what is it, Brother Rob? Is it that he was crucified 2,000 years ago, or was it before the world ever was? Well, you see, when we get into the foreknowledge of God in the Spirit, and there's no time in the Spirit, it's all one eternal day. The thing is this crucifixion took place then. That's when it took place, in the mind of God, in the foreknowledge of God, through predestination. But then yet, when we come to see the fulfillment of it, then we look at the fulfillment of that particular scripture as 2,000 years ago. The Bible said, speaking of the sons of God, that we leap for joy before the world ever was. So when was my beginning? I had no beginning, speaking in the Spirit. I'm eternal in God. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, I can see a lot of things here. When we go into a dimensional differentiation, we talk about the earth. Science misunderstands the Bible, and because of theologians that misunderstand the Bible and teach things, they teach that this earth is 6,000 years old. The Bible does not teach that. I know I've said these things before, but I say things again and again because these things got to be in your mind, and you got to start coming to a revelation of these things for you can start differentiating dimensional projection in God. I know when I was learning to fly, my flight instructor had to say the same thing over and over many times until it become part of me and become where this is the way I thought. I say some things many times for it'll be something part of you and your doctrines and your understandings that you could walk in the power of God. So then when we start looking into the earth is relative to the water world, the things of this earth that make this earth live, make this earth alive, is water. The Bible talks about the water covenant, the blood covenant, and the spirit covenant. The Bible talks about Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. So when we go to the Father, we find the Father represented in a spiritual dimension. We find the Word represented in a blood life. That's why he had to come and shed the blood. We find the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. When we go to water, blood, and spirit, we find the Holy Ghost and spirit. Now, when we have to look at these to differentiate them, we find the Holy Ghost going to the body, not to the spirit, but we find the blood going to the soul. And we find then again, when we go to spirit, having to do with the eternal part. So we differentiate again, body, soul, spirit, the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, the natural, physical, and spiritual. Again, the translation, the transformation, and transfiguration. These are all biblical terminologies that we should differentiate and understand. Then we can understand God. And we'll get out of false doctrine. We'll get out of the Catholic doctrine. It's sad to say that most of our Protestant churches are still preaching Catholic doctrine. Protestant means to protest. The Protestant church, when Luther started the Protestant church, he was protesting against Catholicism of their doctrine of devils. Catholic means universal. The Catholic church was the first church, brothers and sisters, the universal church of God. But the Catholic turned into a denomination, and they went into error through traditions of the elders, doctrines of men, and the Bible commands us to stay away from those things. Well, are you hammering down on the Catholics, Brother Rob? Well, somebody needs to hammer down on false doctrine. The Catholic Church was right. The Catholic Church was the first church. I don't contest that whatsoever. I'm a Catholic, if you want to get right down to it, because I believe in a universal church, but I'm not a Catholic of what you talk about. Let me tell you something. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among you. What do you think when the Antichrist is among you he's going to do? Just sit back over in his corner and play with his Ouija board? Come on, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to be going out trying to convert people and trying to pull people into hell. The Bible tells us we got to stay with the Word. The Bible tells us very clearly, brothers and sisters. It says that if they preach any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. And when did you hear Jesus encourage you to pray to Mary? Does anybody give me any scriptural reference for that? The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is the only way between man and God. Amen. There is no other way. He is the door. He is the life. Amen. There is no other way to enter into the kingdom of God except by him. The Bible said there's no other name given among men that you can have salvation. It doesn't come through St. Christopher or St. Andrew. It does not come through Mother Mary. You say, well, don't speak against Mother Mary. I don't want to speak against Mother Mary. You know, I'm not going to speak against her. The Bible said that she was a blessed woman, amen, and will be remembered through all generations. But I don't pray to her. Oh, Brother Rob, you're offensive. Amen. I'd like to offend every devil that there is until they can get that old offensive thing off of them, get right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so now we're speaking of a differentiation. Let me clarify that. The Lord brings me right back to it. Again, when it says that there's many antichrist among us, this is again where false teaching is being taught in the churches of America. They talk about the antichrist in a historical and also in a futuristic context, just as they do God. See, people have not learned to know that God is, and God is I am, He's now. And they're waiting, well, someday over in Syria or over here in one of these seven countries over here, you know, the Antichrist is going to come forth and he's going to rise up to power and he's going to come and deceive the whole world for 7 years. I'm not contesting that. They're right. But if that's where you stop, you're in error. Because let me tell you something. Yes, there is going to be Jesus Christ, this one to come out of the ground. Yes, He is going to come back to this earth in a bodily perspective that could be seen by natural men with natural eyes. But He's coming back with an iron fist. The Bible said that's the great and terrible day of the Lord. Amen. The blood is going to be to the horse's bridle. You see, this is not for the church today. We are the spiritual Jew according to the word. If you are the elect of God and you're born of God, ye are the spiritual Jew. And then there's a natural Jew. It has to do with Rachel and Leah in the Old Testament. He wanted Rachel. But then yet, he labored for the 7 years and he got what? Leah, representing the Jew. But that's not what he wanted. See, the other one, the one he wanted was the spiritual one. Well, when the Lord came, brothers and sisters, to the Jew, they rejected him. And if you would go and find out the offspring to come through Leah, and then the other one through Rachel, brothers and sisters, the promised seed come through Rachel. And when we find this promised seed, brothers and sisters, this has to do with the elect of God. Now, when we would understand this and start differentiating dimensional projections, we understand that we are the sons of God. We're the spiritual Jew. Amen. We are the spiritual perspective that God was looking for. That's what He desired. But now when you find out when the child was born, and we think of Benjamin, and the child was born, the mother dies, and what did he do? He went back to the first, Leah. Now the thing is the sons of God have come forth through the bride of Christ. The sons of God, brothers and sisters, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by the bride, He said He's coming back for His bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Let me tell you something. That's already happened. That's not something futuristic. This is not something that's going to happen later. Listen to me closely. Now, I'm not differentiating here in a perspective of saying, well, there's going to be another. He has already come for His bride. This is not futuristic. This is now. If this isn't the truth, what I'm saying, God strike me dead and put me in hell for being a liar. Listen to me. Listen close. If He has not already married unto the bride, then Jesus Christ is an adulterer. Are you listening to me? Now, He's not that. Jesus is the husbandman, the Bible says. What is a husband? It's one that's married. But I'm waiting for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. You missed it. You missed it. He would be an adulterer. The Lord teaches no marriage relationship outside of wedlock. And then why would He teach that and He'd be in a marriage relationship? I've already entered into the secret chambers with the living God, brothers and sisters. As the bride of Christ, I've entered in. And I've entered into the relationship and received the seed. The Bible said it's that seed, brothers and sisters, that goes into the womb that brings us the power to be the sons of God, to pass from death unto life. That is a seed. That is a relationship of a marriage relationship. Naturally speaking, the man and woman marry, they go into a natural relationship. The blood seed passes from the loins of the man into the womb of the woman and brings forth the heir or the offspring, the child. That's the natural dimension. Can you understand God in the spirit the same way? Now think about it. Jesus being the husband, we're the bride. The Bible said the woman saved in childbearing. This is why the bride was saved, brothers and sisters. You know, it was the woman that was in the transgression, the woman that was in the fall. And God could have just wiped her off the face of the earth. But God could not reproduce His image, nor man. So the woman was saved in childbearing is what the Bible says. What are you speaking about, Brother Rob? Well, if you're the bride of Christ, He's coming back for His bride. without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb, washed us and cleansed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. By this cleansing and washing, then we've entered into the secret chambers of God, being married unto Him, and we bring forth the heir. How does the heir come forth? If this is something you got to understand, this is what being born again is. This is what it is. The heir comes forth. Now the thing is when I receive the air, the Jesus Christ dwelling within, the kingdom of God within, the Bible says, the rivers of living water coming from within, the kingdom being here, the rivers of life, the power of God dwelling within us. It's the light, the Bible says, formed within the darkness, and the darkness is your first birth, and it's going to cleave in half like that mountain. It's going to be the stone of that old hard heart rolled back, and the manifestation of the sons of God is coming forth. When we can see this, comprehend this and understand it, then we get out of the religious dogmas and the religious vomit and get out of playing the games with God and playing religious little games. Oh, but I said the sinner's prayer, you know, and man, praise God, I'm born again. Boy, is it that simple? Let me ask you something. How about every single time that when a man and woman marry and they have a relationship, do they bring forth a child every time? Come on now, do they? No. Some of them are struggling and striving to bring forth children. You see, what happens is people think when they get in a relationship with God, they come to church and the power and the reign of God's coming down. Hallelujah, praise God. And their hair stands up on the back of their head. They speak in tongues, they prophesy, they dance. And that's just the frolic of the relationship. And the marriage bed is undefiled in all of its ways. When the relationship is ordained of God, you know, there is an exuberance in the natural world of flesh. It doesn't mean that there's a child brought forth. We go all the way through the Old Testament, and it was women were beckoning the Lord and pleading before God to let their womb be opened up that they could bring forth an offspring. And that's the way it is today. There's people that have entered into the churches and they're in a relationship, but you know, many times their womb is closed up and they're not bringing forth a child. The child is the sons of God. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. You see, we need to understand the thing and the move of God. We need to understand how God is and how God works. You see, if the Bible says that all of the unseen things of the invisible world will appear by the things that we see, when these things that we see of the things that are ordained of God naturally in the first dimension, the things that we see are testifying of the things of the invisible world of spirit. I'm talking about when there's order in it. Now, if you want to talk about the spirit world of darkness, the things that we see manifesting in the world of all of the hatred and the crimes and all of the malicious things going on, it is a manifestation of the spirit of darkness manifesting in physical form in people that are going about. When a mother drowns her children or slices their little throat or kills them, or a man ravishes a woman or beats them to death or blows their brains out, stuff, those are all demon spirits manifesting in physical form and bodies. I say this sometimes to catch people's attention, but your God, Jesus Christ, is absolutely powerless in the dimension of grace unless He inhabits a body. Tell me, that's how He talks? The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. How does God win souls? He comes into the body of Christ and speaks forth, preaching the gospel. We're commanded to go into all the world and preach. Now, if you can't believe that's the way your God is in a dispensation of grace, you're just ignorant. He can't do nothing. If He could do something, why don't He stop them from slicing throats and drowning children and doing that? He can't, because it's the dispensation of grace and the blood is hiding it and He's on a mercy seat. He can't do anything, but He can through you. Do you understand that? He is going to come and fill this many-membered body. He's going to speak. He's going to feed. He's going to clothe and do all those things. That's what we're commanded to do. But now listen, your devil that you're all so afraid of can't do nothing. He can't kill. He can't steal. He can't destroy until he finds a body to inhabit. And that's how he works. He'll come in, and because you're natural-minded and carnal-minded, he'll come in and enter. You see, there's three realms here, body, soul, spirit. If he enters, you're into your spirit, then you're possessed of the devil in a spiritual perspective, and you're owned of the devil. You're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. But there is a soul realm, and it's the saving of the soul, which the Bible commands us. And he'll enter into that soulish dimension. That's where the warfare is with the red dragon. If you'd go over and read in the book of Revelations, and it speaks about that. It said just as soon as the child was born, there was a red dragon right there to devour the child. But there was a place prepared for the woman, having to do with the bride. And there was a place prepared there for her. That has to do with the dispensation of grace. And this woman, brothers and sisters, is caught away and hid away. Go back to the typical when Joseph and Mary brought forth Jesus. They were caught away and they went over into Egypt, representing the first dimension or the natural. And they were caught away and went over to Egypt. Why this tyrant, we could say Herod, was seeking after to kill kill all the children. And Jesus was caught away from that. And the thing is, when we get into the next dimension of that thing, we get into blood life, understanding the soul realm, the second heaven, the continual warfare. And we find that this thing is there to devour the child, but we've been caught away, hid in with Christ through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that one's hid away. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The thing is when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, there's going to be an expose, according to the scriptures, of the son of perdition and the son of God. Amen. And the thing is this is where the warfare is because the dispute is for your body. You need to realize that there's spiritual powers, brothers and sisters, of good and wickedness. The spirit of light, the spirit of darkness is disputing to use your body. The devils have to use a body. God has to use a body. God's saying, hey, I love you. I gave my life. I shed my blood for you. I want to use your body. This is why we speak about Galatians so much, where he says, I've been crucified with Christ, but the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, which again is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we live this life by faith. We believe that we've been crucified with him. We believe that we no longer live. We believe that we have the spirit of power in manifesting and coming forth in us, and we walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. This is what the Bible commands us. Paul said, he goes, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said, the things that I'm telling you, you should be teaching these things. Church, this is what you should be doing. These things should be so full in your heart and in your spirit, in your mind, that they're just emanating from you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of power, and you're walking as an overcomer, not being defeated and tossed to and fro and whipped around by every wind of doctrine. We're in a dangerous time, brothers and sisters, because the word of God is being rejected more than any other day and hour ever was. But yet it is so religious. Look at the great Sanhedrin. These were the most great men of all through time. You know, the Sanhedrin, the most spiritual and the most devout people of all the world. And they crucified our God and Savior. He said, I got the nail prints in the house of my friends. It was his friends, man, the people of his own, the Jews. Oh, you can't say that, man. You'll get yourself in trouble talking like that. Well, let me narrow it down just a little bit. It was you that drove those nails in his hands, every single one of you. That's what you better realize. And while you were doing that in the foreknowledge of God, he was looking you right in the eyes saying, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. You understand what I'm saying? It was you, when he said was inscribed in the nail prints in his hands. Amen. It was every single one of you was guilty of crucifying our God and our Savior. Now the thing is we better learn to understand this, is that we can be guilty, brothers and sisters, of crucifying the Lord. The Bible said trampling his blood under your feet on a daily basis. The Bible teaches that. And it says that they crucify him. In present day truce, brothers and sisters, if you've got to take up your cross daily, the Bible says, what is that? If I'm going to be mortified all the day long or killing out this man, if I'm going to take up my cross on a daily basis, being crucified all the day long, you see, it brings into a present truth and a present day perspective. And the people, when you are born again and full of the Holy Ghost, they're not going to like you. My enemy is not the whores and the drunkards and the sodomites and the dope addicts. They don't give me any problem at all. When they hear the word of God come forth, they drop their head and say, God, have mercy on me. But let me tell you, when I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy becomes the religious people that think they know God. That's where it rises up. They come to you and say, we're taking you off the radio because what you're preaching. I'm preaching the word of God. I told the man down at the radio station, I said, well, brother, would you show me, please, in the Bible where I've erred in the scriptures? And he said, no, you haven't erred in the scriptures. You just preach strong, and we're wanting more of a contemporary message on our radio. Yeah, contemporary message will put you right in hell is what it'll do. The Bible said, be as bold as a lion. Raise up your voice like a trumpet. We need to be bold, brothers and sisters. We need to stand for what's right and stand for the word of God. Amen. We need to command the house of God. We need to command our homes according to the Bible. We need to quit being a bunch of limp-wristed, lascivious bunch of queers. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you can't talk like that. Well, that's a pretty good explanation. What is a queer? Something that's weird. When every demon spirit that comes along is having his way with you and perverting you and having his way. You see, naturally speaking, they think of the relationship and the relationship, and women are selling their virtues and giving those things out, and the relationships and the relationships. Well, let me tell you, that's just because that's what's happening in the spirit realm. These demon spirits are coming and they're violating your spirit and they're violating your soul, and they just come and you find yourself intermingling with all of these unclean devils. It'll be made manifest. The Bible talks very clear about being chained to that defiled bed through all of eternity, through the lake of fire. Brothers and sisters, man, you think about it. These people with their passions that are so out of control, when they find themselves being bound to that bed and every unclean demon spirit coming and having their way with them and mauling on them and chewing on them and blood. And I mean, it's so hideous and so ungodly and so filthy. We've got to get right with God now and let the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanse us and make us whole and set us free from those things and walk as overcomers in Christ Jesus. And everything that we do it as unto the Lord and by the word of God and by the scriptures. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a frightening, dangerous time. We truly are. Let me tell you, the spirits of the Antichrist have taken over America. The religious spirits have taken over America. You know, we don't have rights to speak up no more. They're trying to shut the mouth of the preachers and every virtuous and righteous and godly thing that comes forth on the scene. They got the people like the ACLU there to shut it down and to put it down. If you want to find where the Antichrist gets his power, it's through those kind of people. And you say, well, you better be careful. Maybe they'll put you in jail. Well, preach the gospel while I'm in jail then. Amen. Because I'm going to expose darkness, brothers and sisters. Every unvirtuous and unclean, filthy, ungodly thing is being supported and backed up by them to take away the rights of the people and of the Christians. Trying to take and shut the voice up of the Christian people in this day and hour. We need to know what's happening in our midst. We got to quit just closing our eyes to it and being blind to it and just saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Oh, God, I thank you that you shed your blood for me. The Bible said that once you've come to that revelation and understanding of repentance and knowing what he's done for you, then you're going to gird up your loins like a man, amen, and you're going to walk and keep yourself unspotted from the world, and you're going to walk upright in righteousness. You're a good soldier for Christ. You're keeping yourself out of the affairs of the world. If you are of the world and you're fellowshipping with the world and you're laughing with the world and partying with the world, then you are of the world and your father's the devil. But when you are born again, elect child of God, you come out of the world, you're a separate person. Amen. You come out of that unclean thing. You have a love relationship with Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something. If he is our husband and we are the bride and we're married unto him, do you fellowship him? Think about it. Well, I don't know if I'm the bride or not. Well, do you fellowship him? I know I've got a bride. I fellowship her every day, talk with her. We have a good time together and we do things together. Do you have a good time with Jesus? Or is he just something that maybe you think about it once in a while on Sunday? Some sad to say on Easter Sunday. Some it's every once in a while. You know what, brothers and sisters? He should be the preeminence in everything in your life. You should give him everything. The Bible says if you can't give him your life as a living sacrifice, and that's just your reasonable service, if you ain't done that, they're nothing. He's a jealous God. That's what the Bible said. He's a jealous God. You know what? He's jealous over you when you're his bride. He don't want you out fellowshipping anything else or anybody else. He wants you solely for him. And when you really come to that revelation and give him everything you got, then he'll give you something to add back to your wife, to your children, to your employers, to your employees. He'll give you something to add back. You think, well, I can't give it all to God because I got to have something for my wife and my children. The Bible teaches us if you love your wife or your children or your husband more than you do God, you're not even worthy of God. You don't even know what love is until you really surrender everything you've got to God anyway. I'll tell you something. Love is a misused word in America. You know, I love Taco Bell. You know what I'm saying? Well, he does love Taco Bell, but can you compare that to the agape love of God? And we use the word, you know, like, I love Snicker bars. You know, oh, I love you, honey. Well, I hope you love me more than a Snicker bar. But see, love is a misunderstood word. People say, well, I really love him. Oh, but I really love God. And many of you, I have to say, no, you don't. Oh, don't tell me I don't love God. Well, I got to tell you what the word says. I'm called in defense of the word. The Bible said, if you love him, you keep his commandments. That's what the Bible says. I got to preach the word, brothers and sisters. If it offends you, you know, I'm sorry. I love you anyway. But brothers and sisters, that's what the Bible says. If you love him, you keep his commandments. What are his commandments, Brother Rob? I got to go over into the book, the Old Testament, and read the commandments of God. Let me tell you, the commandments are all through the New Testament. Well, I can't live the law. No man has done it. That's right. If you're born again, you're not a man. You was born as a man. You don't have to get born again to be a man. When you're born, you was born as a man. So when you're born again, you're birthed into the kingdom of God, into the spirit of God. Jesus said, ye are gods. That's what I am. You say, oh man, you're blaspheming against God. You can't say that. Well, I'll say it again. I was born as a man with a sentence of death, and it was appointed unto me once to die, according to the Scriptures. I was crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. No, you can't see it with your natural eyes, but you better learn to start seeing it by the Spirit. Amen. And I was buried in a watery grave of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin. And I was resurrected as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I came forth out of death. The Bible said the last enemy of God to be conquered was death. And death has been conquered when Jesus Christ hung his head and said, "It's finished." If it wasn't finished, then you come tell me when it was finished. But it was finished because everything was finished when he hung his head. Amen. He came forth in the resurrection, and I came forth with him in the resurrection. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and I was crucified with him on the cross of Calvary. This is why when I came forth as a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things passed away and all things become new. Amen. And the newness of this life is the birthing into the Spirit. And again, a man begets man, and a dog begets a dog, and a pig begets a pig, and God begets God. Amen. This is why the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren. He is the firstborn of many brethren. I'm a brother to God. That makes me a son of God. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible said that he had sent back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Prince of Peace, to give us the power to become the sons of God. And then it goes on to say that now we are the sons of God. Read it in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Now we are. Now is now. Now is not next year, next month, or 2,000 years away. Now is now. And now we are the sons of God because we've been born of God, because we have God's Spirit, because we are eternal, because we have passed from death unto life. We cannot die. The last enemy of God was conquered. Death has been abolished. I cannot die. They might throw this old man in a box someday and it'll just go back to the old corruption and thing, but that's not death, brothers and sisters, because there's an eternal spirit of life that's dwelling in me that I'm one with. Amen. And one day we'll pick that thing back up out of that ground. We'll be considered asleep. It'll be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and that is the redemption of the body, or the transfiguration of that body. But I got an eternal spirit that is living forever. I'm supposed to speak to you as spirituals, because we've entered into the spiritual covenant. We are no longer in the water covenant. We are no longer in the blood covenant. We came through the water and the blood covenant into a spiritual covenant. Jesus Christ fulfilled that by sending back the Holy Ghost. That is the beginning of that spiritual covenant, and the fulfillment of that spiritual covenant is when we witness the redemption of the body and go through the metamorphosis and the change, and that's the great finalization of that. If you go back to the earth and looking at thing as a allegoric dimensional projection of God, the earth was upright on its axis, and with the fall of man, the earth tilted on its axis, and science will prove that, and now it's wobbling through its orbit, and it's going around wobbling through its orbit because it has to do with man being tilted on its axis. Amen. So we find that the fulfillment of the water covenant is when the things of the water world, again out here, depends on water. You take the rain away, everything dies up. The earth is dependent on the water. Then we go into the next covenant, which is blood covenant. It was introduced there when they fell in the garden. When they fell in the garden, then there was an introduction of a shedding of blood. Never had been done. The shedding of blood of the animals, for they clothed them in the garden there. That was an introduction to the blood covenant. The fulfillment of the blood covenant when Jesus Christ came as the supreme sacrifice and shed his blood for all. Amen. He was covered with blood like a baptism of blood. The thorns in his head, beaten beyond recognition. The whip and the glass and the metal in that whip, and it wrapped around him and pulled the flesh off him. He was beaten beyond recognition. They couldn't even recognize him according to what the Scriptures say. That was a complete bloodbath, the finishing of the blood covenant. Okay, so we found that in the water covenant, there was an introduction to the blood covenant, and then so many years later, then we found 2,000 years, we find the fulfillment of the blood covenant coming forth. We find the water covenant. When the water covenant went forth, there was a fulfillment by the earth being flooded with water in Noah's time. The finishing of the water covenant. The earth was flooded, totally baptized in water. Then we find the finishing of the blood covenant. And the finishing of the blood covenant, Jesus being totally covered with blood. And then there was an introduction there of the spirit covenant. It went from another one there again. And the spirit covenant came when he said he fulfilled the promise and sent back the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to us as the many-membered body of Christ. And we received this spiritual covenant. And the finalization of that thing to bring the spiritual covenant to an end of what we know it as now, it will be this. It'll be the redemption of the body where this old flesh, the Bible talks about beast flesh, fish flesh, and it goes on and talks about spirit flesh. The thing that's already happened, it's the purchase possession already, but when it becomes to be made manifest, it goes through the metamorphosis, or the Bible says the transfiguration. And when it goes through the transfiguration, that means it's changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye, and it becomes spirit flesh. That's redeeming that thing back into oneness with the Spirit. Now, the fulfillment of that, naturally speaking, the earth, brothers and sisters, will snap upright. When the earth snaps upright, comes back up, the polar caps and all those things are going to melt. It'll change its earth. Much of it is going to be covered with water. That is land now. And the fertile things, the salt is preserved, is going to come forth up out of the ground. And when these things come forth, it's going to be second dimension earth in the perspective it's upright, and there'll be a millennium here for 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling here, and that's to the natural Jew with a natural promise, and they will accept Jesus Christ, and they'll have this natural reign for 1,000 years, but it's a reformed earth. The earth is different. It's upright now. It's changed. It's not this earth like you know it now. The lion will lay down by the lamb. It's not going to be like the earth now. It's a different one. But see, now when we go into the revelation of that, I'm not the same as I received the Spirit of God. This thing is upright now. The Bible said righteousness, that's upright. I brought this life to subjection under the Lord Jesus Christ through the marriage, and I bring this life upright, and I'm walking in the righteousness of God. And this thing here, I could lay down by the lion, amen, because I have no fear of it, because I have perfect love, and perfect love casteth out fear. So we're walking in that dimensional sense now. I've already entered into that millennial rest. I've already entered into the kingdom of God. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I'm walking in the presence of God, the power of God. I'm already walking in my salvation. I'm already walking in eternal life. I've already passed from death unto life. See, it's manifested now. Now we are the sons of God. But I'm teaching you to break these dimensional projections down, so we find that to the Jew it'll go that way, and we find that the earth snaps up right, but that's not the finishing of it. If I walk in righteousness now and holiness now, that's not the final thing of it. That is bringing the transformation into a manifestation in this present day and hour. But when this body goes through that metamorphosis and change, brothers and sisters, it becomes celestial, like glass. That is the fulfillment of it. This earth, brothers and sisters, after the 1,000 years, will go through one more change. 1, 2, 3. It'll go through another change and become the celestial earth. Amen. It won't be like this no more. It won't be like that beautiful millennial earth, the lion laying down by the lamb. It won't be like that. It's going to go through another change, and it's going to go to celestial, where it talks about the transparent streets of gold the Bible speaks about. That's what's going to take place. So you need to understand the 1, 2, 3 of the Word of God. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, transformation, translation, transfiguration, the justification, the sanctification, the glorification, the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, you know, again, the body, soul, spirit. These things are what we need to understand, that we can understand God. You say, well, you think I need to understand those things, Brother Rob, for I can have salvation? I didn't say that, but I do say this, that the Bible said the wicked don't understand. And the Bible said he gave us an unction from the Holy One to understand all things. And the things that you do need to understand are these things, that you could walk in righteousness and uprightness before God and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's everybody walking around with so many doctrines out here, brothers and sisters, that ain't in the Bible. And they're teaching things, and they're sending their preachers off to theological institutions and colleges and saying, well, this is the way we believe. And they go to college for 2 years to learn why John the Baptist, or because somebody, where they lived at and what they did, and this is why we believe, because this man said that. I don't care. The Bible said that all men are liars, okay? And the Bible said, let this word of God be true and every man be a liar. So we got to stay with the word of God. If I say something that ain't in this word of God, reject it. Have nothing to do with it. Run from me. please, before you do that, come to me and show me where I've made a mistake in the Word of God. For I can make changes. I'll stand before this church and say, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. I misunderstood something. I've made a mistake. Brother Rob has made mistakes before, brothers and sisters, but I do not have a spirit of error. I got the spirit of a living God named Jesus Christ dwelling within me, and I'm preaching His Word, amen. And I'm speaking His Word, and I'm full of His Word, and I'm full of the power of salvation, the power of life, amen. And I am walking as an overcomer in Christ Jesus. That's my testimony. And we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. So the thing is that we have this word. We got to stay within this word. Amen. This is what we got to live by. You know, the thing is I say to people so oftentimes when I find them in error to the word of God, I said, could you show me that in your Bible? Please take and show me that in your Bible. Show me your rapture. Show me your millennium. It's in there. It's not said that way. I just say those things to make you think a little bit. I remember when I was walking amongst the Baptists, and I'd say, well, you must believe in Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, and you must believe in the Trinity. I used to say that. That's what I heard when I was in the Baptist church. You must believe in the Trinity. Do you believe in the Trinity, Brother Ron? I believe in a triune God. I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, do you believe those are three? No. Do you believe that they're three persons? No. I don't have no Bible for that. I'm violating the scriptures when I do that. Again, I say so oftentimes that came through Catholic Church in 321 AD at the Nicene Council. The dispute was over matter. How many of you people went through school and learned what matter was? Solids, gases, and liquids. And that's what they disputed about in the Nicene Council, about the Godhead being all one and the same matter. You know, and there's a revelation there. But they came up with it's God in three persons. That's foolishness. I'm a body, soul, spirit, but I'm not three persons. And if I was birthed after and come to after the image of God, He's a body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual. I'm the same way. I'm one person. You're not going to have three persons. My wife couldn't handle three persons like Brother Rob. She couldn't handle that. It'd be a real problem. I couldn't handle another guy around the house like me. I have troubles getting along with myself. Yeah. It's my turn to sleep on that side of the bed. No, it's mine. No. You ever talk to yourself like that? But let me tell you, there is sometimes thoughts going like that. Shut up, devil! Give me another Budweiser. Shut your mouth. You ain't getting one. I'm a born-again child of God. Shut up. I don't drink. Oh, man, that old cigarette sure does smell good. Sure, man. Boy, I'd sure like to hit on one of them things. Shut up! Oh, come on, man. Just one? No, shut your mouth! That's what you got to deal with the devil. That's how you overcome them things. I'm schizophrenic. Yeah, I know. Got two things going on up here. That's what Brother Paul said, isn't it? Didn't he? Said the dreams of my head trouble me. I'm in a continual warfare. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He talked about a continual warfare. He said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Sounds like a schizophrenic man, doesn't it? Let me tell you something. When the Bible tells you to cast down every thought and every imagination that would exalt itself before the knowledge of God, whose thoughts are you casting down? Are you casting down your thoughts? It might be. Are you casting down Satan's thoughts? It may be. Satan comes to you by the way of thought. Everything starts in a thought. You don't just go off into some sinful thing. There's first a thought. There's a meditating on it, thinking on that very thing. And he's going to say, oh man, come on. Don't that smell good? You know, forget about the bacon and eggs. Smelling that enemy. It's going to go by that cigarette. Whoa, you know. But I mean, that's the devil wearing your mind out. You need to say, shut up, Satan. I'm tired of you killing me. I'm tired of you taking my life. I'm tired of you taking my children. I'm tired of you taking them. You say, all from smoking? That's just a weakness to the devil. You give him that foothold of tobacco, what else are you going to give him? He ain't going to stop there. You know, the next thing he's going to be saying, oh man, let's go get, man, doesn't a little of that methamphetamine sound a little pretty good? Well, let's snort up a little bit of crack, man. You know, I guess you snort it, you smoke it, drink it, shoot it, whatever you do. They didn't have that back in my ignorant days. Maybe they call it crack because they're cracked in their head. I don't know. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, you know, that old devil's going to wear you out. You know, we can think, oh, man, it's terrible, man, talking about these people, man, and smokers and addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol. But what about you? It might be business. What's different? Man, if you are so addicted to business and controlling your life and controlling you, or God doesn't have control over it, just as bad. You can't put anything before God. You know, a person will sit in a church and they're full of gossip and backbiting and devouring one another, and they'll sit there, look at that drug addict, man, he's a wretched, no good guy. They're doing the thing that God said he hates the most of anything. He said he hates it more than anything, sowing discord among the brethren, because that destroys the church. And they'll do that. See, you know, we have a way of weighing out these sins, you know. Well, you know, that's a hideous sin, but this one's okay. You know, if you're in a marriage relationship outside of marriage, you know, and you could look at that and say, man, you know, God will accept this. You're no different than two men laying together. That isn't covered in the marriage covenant, nor is a woman and a man outside of wedlock. It ain't covered in a marriage covenant. So the thing is it's no different. I told a man one time, lusting after another man's wife, I said, you're a pervert. You're a queer, a homosexual, a faggot. Man, don't call me no faggot. Well, that's what you are. You're lusting after another man's flesh. That woman is that man's flesh, according to the Bible, and you're lusting after another man. God, that's sickening sounding to me. I'll tell you, you know, it is. People war with different things. And you might look down at somebody else because they're worn with tobacco or drugs, and you're worn with something else, and he might be looking down at you. But that's not the way we do it. We feel each other's infirmities, brothers and sisters. You might be strong in one place. I could take every man in this church and talk about their strengths. And you could sit there and say, man, praise God. You know, I could talk, and you each and every one of you, honestly say, you have strengths. You truly have strengths, and you offer a great benefit and assets to the kingdom of God. Every single one of you in this church have strengths. Some are more stronger than others and offer more strengths than others. The Bible said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But then on the other hand, I could talk to you ones that are the most strength. I could talk about the power and the things that manifest in your life. But I could also expose your weaknesses and where your failures are at. You see, I'm a minister, a physician. Let's talk about natural physician a minute. So I go to the doctor, or you go to the doctor, or somebody goes to the doctor, and they go in, and the doctor runs a scope down, runs a scope up, runs a scope in, and looks and pounds and beats and listens and plugs and pushes and all that thing. And he says, man, you're strong. Oh, your lungs are in good shape. Man, you got a good, strong heart. Man, it's pounding just right in there. Man, your blood pressure's right on, man. Everything's good. Boy, man, you are fit. Man, you are healthy, man. But, man, when I was looking down there in that scope, I seen a little dark spot on your lung. Or I checked your blood and your blood count's a little out of whack. You know, you got cancer in your body. See, now there's something in there that's going to take all that health and all that strength and all that goodness and a good heart and all those things he talked about, but there's something there defiling that, and it's starting to consume and eat away of that flesh. You see, and sometimes that's the way people are spiritually speaking, looking at it in an understanding. You know, bless God, I pay tithes. Bless God, I give finance to church. Bless God, I go out on church jobs. Bless God, I do this. Bless God, I do that. But there's a big tumor laying there of death that's trying to consume you. And you got to kill it. You got to get that thing out of your life. You know, it's like, you know, everything's to deal with spirits. Everything. It don't matter if you're a fat, obese pig. It's because it's an obese, fat pig devil that you're fellowshipping every day. I know what that devil is. Hey, man, he comes to me, man, the cheesecake smells good, it looks good, the cake, the pound cake, and all the apple pies and all that. You know, that sounds like offensive, but I say things like that for you can understand what it is. You ain't fat because, you know, it's just your nature, your thyroid's out of whack. It's because it's an obese devil that you're stinking, eating, and feeding off of. I deal with that thing. But, you know, see, I say things like that to wake up your spirits. And it's like I said, you know, if it's that cheesecake that's pulling on your spirit back there and you're looking at it, whoa, man, I got to get done preaching before I go get to that thing. You know what I'm saying? But if that's what it's pulling on you and that's what's killing you, then you need to look at that thing differently. It's like I said, it wouldn't sound so good if somebody gave you a little hint or strychnine in it. Man, I ain't touching that thing. It looks good. It smells good. It might even taste good. But man, there's strychnine and I ain't touching it. And when there's something, brothers and sisters, that's going to pull you away from God, and it's a violation by the Spirit, if it's obesity, if it's fornication or adultery, or if it's bitterness or anger or malice or strife, whatever it is, those are spirits that make you do that. When a man has an explosive anger, it's a spirit. He's got to deal with that. He's got to learn to overcome that. That thing will separate him from God. So you got to learn to deal with it. I used a brother that came to me not long back, said, man, and this brother got in my face, man, and chewed me out, this and that. He wanted me to get on board with him. Yeah, brother's never been right with God. That guy ain't right with God, this and that. And I said, the preparation of a man's heart's from God. The Lord suffered that brother to do that. For you can exercise control over anger. Well, I owe it to him. He had no right talking to me like that. I owe it to him to rebuke him. I owe it to him to put my finger in his face. No, you don't. If anybody owed that to him, it was Jesus when they were nailing him on the cross. It was Jesus when they were plucking his beard. It was Jesus when they were beating him upon the back. He was an innocent man. He had done nothing. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's what he did. When they brought him and accused him, and they stood him there in the courts like a common criminal and a murderer and a thief, and they put him in there and they accused him, he said he was as silent as a lamb going to slaughter. He didn't defend himself. So what makes you think you need to? Or do you want to be like Jesus? Oh, I want to be a Christian. That's to be like Christ. So that means that there's going to be people that are going to be in your face, and they're going to be cursing at you, and they're going to be taking advantage of you, and they're going to be lying to you, and they're going to be cheating you, and this and that. And you say, Father, forgive me. I love you, man. It really hurts that you ripped me off. It really hurts that you violated me. It really hurts that you took advantage of me, but I love you. I want to help you. You see, that's Christ. Oh, but I owe it to him. I'm going to break his face. That's just the devil in you. You're no different than him. God sent him that way for you could conquer that spirit. That's what it's all about. You got to conquer that thing. It don't matter what it is, brother, sister. You're all dealing with spirits. I said, maybe I could talk about your strengths, but I can talk about the spirits that each and every one of you deal with. And you got to learn to put that thing under subjection. You know, why does the Bible teach fasting? For we could tell that flesh to shut its mouth. I'm hungry. I want something to eat. I want it now. Shut up. I'm not feeding you for 3 days. Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, you know, that old devil knows how to turn up all five senses. That sense of smell, when you're on a fast, you could be driving down, smell the barbecue pit 7.5 miles away. Going like that. All of a sudden, your car is going to the left. That's the way the devil works. But you say, shut your mouth, devil. You ever done that? I one time was on a fast, man, and a brother was riding with me. He's eating sunflower seeds. Man, I could smell them things, man. And I'm thinking like, whoa, them are smelling pretty good, man. You know, but shut up, devil. You know, I'm telling you, man, your senses start, you know, the old devil, he's going to come through the five senses, man. He'll do it. I try to make things as simple as I can, brother, sister. I know when I preach into Revelation, it sounds, some of it gets kind of deep. Maybe it seems like going over there, but I try to bring some of these things down to your level in the perspective. You can understand what spirits are. Spirits are invisible, brothers and sisters. The Bible said we're encamped around a great cloud of witnesses. The Bible teaches us when you cast a devil out of an individual, it leaves that thing because the house has been swept clean by the authority and the power of God, and it goes out into the dry places seeking a place of inhabitation. If it finds not another individual to enter into, it's going to come back of the house he was kicked out of, and he's going to bring seven more devils just like it, but even stronger. And they're going to come back and they're going to try to inhabit that house again. But if he finds the house has been swept clean and that strong man, the Holy Ghost, is dwelling there, he can't get back in. Yeah. It's like I was explaining to Brother Jonathan. I said that if you looked at your life like this, and I said there was a wide open door through drug addiction, and the devil had free flow back and forth in your soul coming through drugs, he wasn't coming through anger and bitterness or obesity and all those things. He didn't have to try to mess with those things because he had a free door open, wide open door for drug addiction. And he come in and out of his soul as he pleased and wanted, violated him, violated his family, took his family away and done all that. But then when the brother come, we pray for him and trust and believe by faith of God, and we shut the door of drug addiction. And that devil don't like it. Don't you know he wants to fight for what he thinks is his? That's why I rebuke the devil and say, he is not yours. Devil, you're a liar, and you're the father of all lies. By faith in God, I believe he's a blood-bought child of God. I believe that he's born again before the foundation of the world. I believe that God put his name in the nail prints on his hands. Amen. I speak by faith, and I believe by faith, and I put my hope in God and my trust in God, and I keep speaking life and keep speaking life. So we close the door of drug addiction so them spirits come back around, and they're looking for another way of entrance. Anger, bitterness. They come and look for them realms of depression. Well, that's a big one for people coming off drugs, depression. And all of a sudden that old devil wants to come in and he wants to depress you. Oh, you've lost everything. Oh, you know, where's your God at? Oh, where's your great God at? Oh, your wife's in jail. Oh, your children have been taken away from. Where's your great God at? And tries to depress and depress and depress your mind. And you need to say, shut up, devil. My God is a restorer. My God is the Prince of Life. And I'm in this condition because of my foolishness listening to you. So you shut your mouth. I ain't listening to you no more, you lying devil. You've already got me where I'm at, and you've already messed my life up. You've already taken my life. You've taken my virtue. You've taken my strength. You've taken everything away from me. You've showed me nothing. I went your way. I walked with you for 15 years, for 20 years, and you brought nothing but despair to me. And I'm tired of you, and I've given my life to Jesus Christ now, and he is raising me up. Amen. And he is going to restore those things that the cankerworm and the palmerworm has taken away. And he's going to restore them to me. And I'm going to get my family back. And what are you going to do about you lying devil? Shut your face. I'm getting my children and my wife back. And I'm walking as an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way sons of God talk, brothers and sisters. They tell the devil he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. And shut your mouth. Amen. I like that kind of preaching. That's what brings power in your life. Don't let him take what's yours away from you. Don't let him take your virtue. Don't let him take your life. Don't let him take your soul. Stand up and fight the devil. I just never really had to fight him. That's because he's owned you. If you ain't fighting him, he owns you. You understand that? Well, you know, I just don't seem to be in these warfares in my mind. Like, it's not because your mind's thinking like the devil. You want the world, the love of the world, the pride of life, the lust after worldly things, worldly pleasures. Why is he going to war with you in that? He's already got your mind. Come out of that mind. The Bible said, come into the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, Brother Rob, you can't say that. It is exactly that way, because I'm bone and bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's going to make it. And unless you become one with Jesus, bone of his bone, and be part of the many-membered body, you will not make it out of this world. That's your only hope and your only chance, is by being one with him. Amen. So the Bible said it's a wide, broad path to destruction. It's a straight, narrow way. Few be there that find it. It's a straight and narrow way. Amen. The Bible said the righteous scarcely make it in. You should be before the Lord with fear and trembling. Don't be boasting in your Bible knowledge. Don't be boasting in your religious activities. Don't be boasting in those things. The only thing that you need to boast in is Jesus Christ and him crucified, that he died for you, gave his spirit to you, and granted life unto you, and that you become one with him, and that you are pressing your way into the kingdom of God. You are kicking the gates of hell down, and you're doing everything that you can to walk upright before the Lord. Amen. Then you'll get God's attention. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. We need to love the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. Let's sing together.
I'm yours, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything I've got, everything I am, and everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Try me now and see that I can be.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.